Good evening, everybody. I'm going to pick on Susan. It's good to see Susan tonight. Yeah. I thought I'd pick on you, been just live and everything, you know. Yeah. But anyways, it's good to see everybody. It's good to see anybody sometimes, right? You ever had one of those days? It's good to see anybody? Yeah. Yeah. And I don't mean you're just anybody. You're somebody, okay? Everybody's a somebody. But I'll just keep digging myself deeper in the hole, and then pretty soon I'll fall in. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5, and it's still part of our question-answer series, our catechizing ourselves. I've entitled this message, What Assurance Do We Have in Our Second Birth? What assurance do we have in our second birth? A couple weeks ago, we talked about that second birth. And in that second birth, we found out we had benefits from it. We were justified, we're being sanctified, we're going to be glorified. And this week, we're going to talk about the benefits of justification, sanctification, and glorification. Because those are things that are kind of objective, right? I mean, we know the Bible says we're justified. We know the Bible says we're being sanctified. We know the Bible says we're going to be glorified. But we can't feel and touch that right now. But what benefits, what subjective benefits do we have? So our question tonight is, what are the benefits or subjective things that we can gauge? What are the benefits now to the believer in their justification, in their sanctification, in their glorification that's found in Christ Jesus at the second birth? Well, the answer is the believer at their second birth find in Christ Jesus, they have assured peace, assured access, assured hope, and assured reality by the Spirit that dwells within us. I often think about the Bible talks about the peace, joy, and righteousness of the Holy Spirit. We also think about how the Spirit is a down payment, a guarantee. A guarantee of all those eternal things, you know. And because the Holy Spirit gives us peace, joy, and righteousness, there are times in your life and in my life we experience that kind of peace, right? And then sometimes it just hits here today, gone tomorrow, depending on what's going on. Then other times we experience joy. It's here, it's gone, because we're temporary, we're still in the flesh. And righteousness, there's things sometimes you just know you've done something righteous, you're righteous, then other times, obviously not. So that Spirit of God is a guarantee, a down payment that we will have eternal joy, peace, and righteousness, eternal. But in the meantime, it's there to help us experience tastes of it or moments of it, right? Which is that guarantee. It's something subjective we can kind of hold on to. I remember that day. I remember that moment, or I remember when the Spirit of God drew me. You know, we go back to those subjective moments, but they're not eternal yet because we're not glorified. We're being sanctified. And so that's really what we're going to talk about in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, is those subjective things, things that we can gauge, we'll be able to gauge peace, access, hope, and reality in moments of life because the Spirit of God dwells in you. You know, the moment you were saved, yes, God declared you righteous, but he also deposited within you righteousness through the Holy Spirit to desire what is right. The Spirit of God indwells in you. And it's good to know not only those objective things, I have been justified, I'm being sanctified, I'm going to be glorified. But it's good to know that within those things, there's things that you can experience every day because the Spirit of God lives in you, that assurance, that access. And so that's kind of what we're going to do is kind of walk through the idea of peace, access, hope, and reality that we experience off and on during our walk with God because the Spirit of God dwells in us and because we have been justified, because we are sanctified and we are glorified. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, I'll get there myself. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll have prayer. I had an exciting time today. For lack of words, I signed a contract today that didn't cost us anything, but it's a contract with the community center. And starting May 6th, every Monday at 8:15 to 9 in the morning, and then at 6:15 to 7 o'clock at night, they've given me a conference room, and hopefully we can, between their Facebook page and whatever they can advertise, I can get some people to come in there to do some grief, loss, expression labs with me. We'll see if there's any interest. I just kind of did a three-month thing. I said, yeah, just do it 3 months, because there may not be any interest, and that's fine if there's no interest. But they were kind of excited about it. They had people doing Zumba. They had people doing Tai Chi. You know, I saw people playing pickleball today. She said, we don't have anything like this. I said, well, I'll give it to you. Then later on today, I went across the street to see Lance. He was busy, so I talked to Billy, and I gave them, I told Billy I'd done corporate chaplain work before, kind of explained to him what that was all about. And I said, this is just give this to Lance, let him look over it, see if that's something he would like me to do on a weekly basis, go over there and walk around and meet people and everything and just kind of connect with people. And we'll see what happens there. I do start the Oakdale Manor Bible study, second Thursday of every month, tomorrow from 2 to 2:45. Also, I did go to Chili's today, and I ran into Shay. She actually saw me. She says, I lost your card. They didn't give me one. You got one now. So she said something about bringing her mom and her two daughters here next Sunday. So we'll see what happens. And she said Jonathan didn't live with them anymore. So I imagine Jonathan was kind of in and out to her brother that was with them. So I don't know. She said she didn't even know where he's at. So I'm sure there's some things there, but we need to pray about. But she was real excited because she was the host. And there was two ladies, then there was me. She goes, oh, it's you. Hadn't seen you forever. I said, well, we hadn't seen you forever either, you know. So she said she was going to come over Easter, but I guess her car wasn't working at that time. So otherwise, they were going to drive down and come Easter. So we'll see what happens there. And hopefully she'll actually text me so that I'll have a phone number. And I just didn't want to push too much and everything, so to keep a boundary. So anyways, let me read Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. And then we'll have prayer. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Now, when we say that, we're like, what did he just say? Well, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or endurance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and we pray that your Spirit would lead us into truth individually, collectively. Help me to gather some thoughts that have some kind of logical rhythm as to what we're reading, so it will engage our intellect and just drop down in our hearts into our spirit and illumine our eyes, our heart, refresh us, renew our mind as to who we are in Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we talked about the benefits of that objective justification. You know, justified means we're saved from the guilt of sin. Sanctification, we're saved from the power of sin. We're being saved from the power of sin. And then someday we will be saved from the presence of sin. Glorification. Those aren't three different stages, three different levels. It's just comes instantaneously, and then it's a journey, and it never ends, and it's forever. As we read in Romans chapter 8 last week about those things, that nothing or no one can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, and that's that love is what justified, sanctified, and will glorify us. Well, those are objective things. Those are things that we can say, well, black print on white paper says this, so I know it's true. But to know these things are true, sometimes up here intellectually to know them, and even though you know it in your heart, don't you just like a taste of it sometimes, what justification really feels like? You know, what does it feel like to be sanctified? What could even a whisper or a hint of what it would be to be glorified? I mean, me and David were talking about their, not this David, but the other David. Can't remember their last name.
Sam David.
Yes, thank you. Anyways, I was talking to him, and we were talking about that, how at that time, when we're glorified, we're in a perfect state. We're in such a perfect state that all these other things we had questions about or doubts about, it won't even matter anymore because we're there. We're in the presence of God, out of the presence of sin, and all in the total presence of holiness. I had a preacher talk about one time how the Bible says Jesus is the sunlight up there, or he's the light, right? But he's so bright and so perfect in his light, because right now there's a light hitting me and there's a shadow over there on the floor. But Jesus will permeate that place so much with light, I'm standing there in the light and I won't be able to see a shadow anywhere. That's how much light he penetrates and permeates. And what we talked about, me and him just talked about how at that time you're in a different state. You're in a different state of mind, different state of being, different state of understanding. And so sometimes it's nice just to get a glimpse, a taste, a twinkling of what these objective things that are true, how they can flesh themselves out in our everyday lives now. Having peace, access, hope, and just a reality of God. And so what I want to do is in verse 1, when we talk about the benefits of justification, sanctification, glorification, the first benefit that just, and by the way, this is not an exhaustive list of all the benefits. It's just right here in chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 of the benefits. So in other words, we could go to other verses and find other benefits. But there in verse 1, one of the benefits is that we are given immediate peace with God. The moment you're justified, being sanctified, going to be glorified, the moment you're saved, the moment you are justified before God, you have been given immediate peace with God. Look at verse 1 with me again. Therefore, and the therefore comes after he's talking about Abraham, and by faith, Abraham just believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness and everything. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, like the father of faith, Abraham, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, every day, all day, I don't feel an overwhelming sense of peace of God. It just sometimes, you know, it's our fault. Sometimes it's things happen and everything. But when you have those times where, no matter what it is, it may sneak up on you. It may be during your devotion time. It may be when you're praying to God. It may be when you're crying out to God. But when a peace that surpasses understanding comes upon you and you have a realization that you're at peace with God, you know, you're not an enemy anymore. When you have that sense, I don't want to call it a feeling, but when you have that sense, doesn't that feel wonderful? Now, take that momentary, I guess, sense or feeling, and then imagine you're in heaven and just eternalize it. It'll never stop. Once it begins, it never stops. I mean, don't be like, oh, what am I going to lose it? It'll be eternal. But yet, by the Spirit of God, because we've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we have that peace now with God. We may experience it momentarily. Sometimes it's a longer season than other seasons. Sometimes when I feel it, I guess the more often I feel it is perhaps maybe when I'm not so much reading my Bible, believe it or not. Because sometimes when I'm reading my Bible, my brain's working on an outline. You know, I'm trying to, everything lines up with a P or a T, and that's why my brain works. I experience it usually if I take time in my living room, and Karen's in bed probably, and Joey's probably in bed, or the dogs are all sleeping. And I just open up an old hymnal, Mr. Music Pastor. I just open up a hymnal. And maybe it's a song I don't know, so I don't know the tune, so I'm just reading the words. Other times it may be a hymn that I do know, and I just begin to sing. That's usually when I sense some semblance of peace. And I go, wow, that tasted good. That felt good, you know. And I'm not telling you this, I'm talking about all sensual. I'm just saying it gives me a taste. And when I feel or sense that peace with God, then I begin to think, and someday, because of my justification, because of my sanctification, because of my glorification, because I am saved in Christ Jesus, I have been now twice born, I'm going to experience whatever I just felt at this moment with no end to it someday. Peace. Because listen, later on he's going to talk about tribulation, so it also obviously proves that we can't always just be walking around, you know, on cloud nine or walking on water, and life's going to have troubles. Even Jesus said, if you love me, the world will hate you. If you love me, you're going to have trouble. I mean, that's one of those great Christian promises we don't like to claim a lot, but it's a reality because it's part of our sanctification. We're going to suffer. We're going to die daily as those lambs led to the slaughter. When we place our faith, when we are justified by faith in through Jesus Christ, we have immediate peace with God. That is, we have been placed at peace with God. You know, that's our standing, right? Because we have been raised from death as justified before God. In Christ Jesus, we were raised. We were raised in that peace. We once were dead in sin, and God has raised us with new life to have peace with God. He made you alive to have peace with God. We are raised from death as justified before God, and we are raised from that condemnation as alive to God. We're no longer dead to God. We once were not only dead without God, we were dead to God, and he made us alive. And in that resurrection life that Jesus gave us to justify us, he raised us. He raised us up to be justified before God and alive before God. I wrote this down here. Christ's death paid for our offense. Christ's rising eternalized our peace. It's one thing to say, my sins have been paid for. If that's all Jesus did on the cross, was down the cross to pay for our sins, that would have been nice enough just for God to do that. Okay, Steve's sins are forgiven. Boom, it's done. But I would still die twice, and there'd be no justification, no eternal life. It just would have been a record, I guess. I guess Steve's sins were paid for. You know, I guess we believed in universalism. But there'd be no life. There would be no joy or peace in that. It is in his death that our offenses are paid for, but it's in his resurrection that he eternalizes that payment and gives us eternal life and eternal peace with God. He makes it a forever thing, not just a one time. He died for me, and then, of course, then I'm going to sin tomorrow, and then I guess there's no other way to go back to the cross, right? That's what Hebrews says. So it was in his death that he paid for our offense, but it was in his resurrection that he eternalized that position that I am at peace with God. He made it for sure, certain, because he rose from the dead, and I rose with him. I rose out of my condemnation to justification, and I arose alive to God. Our peace with God comes immediately and is sustained. It is sustained eternally. So not only at his death did he paid to give us peace, but he rose to make sure it was eternal peace, not just a one-time sacrifice peace. It's forever. It can't change. It can't be undone. You can't go back to it because you don't need to. Not just because you can't, because you don't need to. It's been eternalized. We are given immediate peace with God. The moment we're justified, we have been given immediate peace with God. Verse 2, at justification, we are not only given immediate peace with God, but we are given permanent access to God. So you not only stand at peace before God eternally, now you have permanent. It can't be changed, it can't be altered, although there may be times when our access on our end is less often, less connected. You know, it's like when Crystal came in today, she goes, is Wi-Fi down? Cox went down. I said, I don't know. I haven't Googled anything for a while. I'm low tech. But, you know, internet kind of goes up and down, right? What was it back in, what month was that? And my AT&T was off for like 8 hours or something like that. Just last month. So it was a connectivity problem. I wasn't totally lost because I grew up like most of y'all with a rotary dial and just looking at people and saying, hi, how you doing? But at first I was kind of panicky. I was like, well, what if someone needs to get a hold of me and I can't? What if I need to call somebody and I can't? And then it dawned on me, well, I guess I can't. I'm just like dragging Main Street again in Owosso, so who cares? Que sera, sera, you know? But when it comes to access with God, it's permanent. The moment you were justified, you had permanent access to God. Why? Because you've been made right. You're at peace with God. You're no longer an enemy with God. Look at verse 2 with me. It says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We are given permanent access. We have access to God as acceptable in Christ. Number one, our access is there because now we've been made acceptable to God, right? We've been made acceptable. So we not only have access, permanent access to God because we've been made acceptable, but we have access to God that's not only because we've been made acceptable, but it's been made certain. Permanent that we have access to God. I still remember going out for an all-star baseball team. Of course, we're talking fourth grade, right? You know, all-stars, fourth grade, peewee. And I was asked to go to the tryout because I'd played 1 year future Wausau Rams, and I had a little left-handed slider. So they asked me to go out for it. So I went there. And there was two dugouts. Obviously, there was about 30 kids going out for the all-star team. And I guess they were going to pick maybe 15 or 12. I don't know. And I'm on this dugout. The dugout's over there. And I'm not going in the first inning. I think they played 6 innings total so they could rotate enough people in there. So I think I was the home team. So it was the bottom of it was the top of the sixth, and they didn't ask me to go out in the field to do anything. And then it was the bottom of the sixth, and I didn't get to bat. So it went 6 innings, and I never got to do anything other than just sit there on the bench going, go get them, David. You know, maybe you can knock it out, Ken. You know, I just barely knew these kids. And so game's over, and I'm just kind of, and we lived about probably a quarter mile through the neighborhood from the ballpark. And I'm just kind of standing there, and And he's going through the list. Okay, Brian Hickerson, right over here, boy. Ken Boswell over there. He started naming all these names. That's the people that were getting picked. And I never heard my name because I didn't figure I'd hear my name because I didn't do anything. And, of course, they picked all the 15 or 12 it was, and I didn't hear my name, and I didn't say anything, and watched everybody kind of grab their gloves and their bat, and I go to get my bat glove, and I go to the coach, and I said, Coach, I said, did I make the team? He said, no, Holstein, you didn't make it. Of course, my dad's standing right there listening to everything. He probably wanted to say, you didn't let him play at all. You know, but my dad was cool about it. He just stood there watching me. I said, okay, thank you, Mr. Williams. And I stepped out, and my mom and my dad and my sister were there watching me. And when I played baseball in Tulsa, of course, it's different in Owosso, a lot more talent. But in Tulsa, for 2 years, I was batting 600, 700. I mean, still talking peewee, okay. Don't get me wrong, but if I got on first base, I stole all the way to third. I mean, that's just how I had a brain for baseball at that time. I went to watch TU and the old Oilers and everything when I was a kid. And so I walked home. I kind of walked in front of my mom and my dad. And they went inside, and I kind of climbed over the fence, and I got in the backyard with my black and tan coon hound named Duke. And I'm sulking, you know. And my dad kind of comes up there after a while and says, "Son, do you need a bologna sandwich?" I said, "Yeah. Need a bologna sandwich with mustard, pickles, and lettuce on it." Okay. And he went inside, and he came back, and then he sat down beside me with his little bologna sandwich and some Kool-Aid and whatever else Mama made. He said, "Well, son," he said, "what are you thinking?" I said, "Well, Dad, I didn't even get to do anything." I said, "And therefore they didn't pick me." He said, "Well," he said, "I can't change that," he said, "but I appreciate you taking it like a man." And I was disappointed because I didn't even have access to the field. I barely was brave enough to have access to the coach to say, "Am I on the team?" Didn't even play. Well, duh. You know, no brainer. But when it comes to God, you have permanent access to God. Permanent access, because you've been made acceptable, and it is for certain. It is for certain. You're on the team, so to speak, if you want to call it that, based off my analogy. What was unthinkable to have access to God now has been made accessible by faith in Jesus Christ. What was unreachable before salvation is now made real by God's grace. What you and I couldn't even have thought about doing, "Oh, I'm just going to go see God." No, you can't. You're dead in your sins. You can't do nothing. You're not his child. And even if we even thought we could, it would just be unreachable. We would never get there. But yet, through Jesus Christ, through his justification by faith, we have been made acceptable, and it is for certain that we have permanent access to God. That's pretty special. Not only do we have immediate peace before God, with God, the moment we're justified, now I have access to him. Now I have access to him. Those are a couple of benefits that are very subjective. You can feel, you can experience. It's day in, day out. It's momentary. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can experience it. Verse 3 and 4, we are not only given immediate peace with God, we are not only given permanent access to God, but another benefit of justification, sanctification, glorification in our second birth, we are given maturing hope from God. Verse 3 and 4. We are given maturing hope from God. Look at verse 3 and 4 with me. He says, and not only that, not only what? Not only do you have peace with God and have permanent access with God, he says, and not only that, but we who have been saved, we who have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing, this is what we need to know about tribulation, whether it's self-imposed tribulation or obviously providential tribulation, it doesn't matter. We glory in the fact that in tribulation, we know that in that tribulation, it produces perseverance or endurance. And perseverance goes to character, and character leads to hope. Do you see that maturing process? Do you see that constant changing process, that constant reformation changing process, where you're constantly being reformed through the fact that you're going through a trial, a tribulation, or a trouble? We've been given a maturing hope. Now listen, when I got saved, all I knew was John 3:16 and maybe something in Genesis that God was a creator, but I guarantee you, right off the bat, those first 3 to 6 months, you couldn't have convinced me otherwise. I knew I was going to heaven. And then you know as well as I do what happened. Things began to happen. Life happened. People persecuted me. I began to go through tribulation. And through those tribulations, then I began to get some doubts. Well, what if? And I don't know. But it was part of a process of maturing me. It was in those doubts. It was in those step right into sin, disobey, and all those things. It began to mature me, and I still struggle. You still struggle, but my struggle's different than it was then. Then, according to the text here, I didn't know that tribulation leads to all that. I just thought, what happened, Ken? I thought the Christian life was a bowl full of cherries. And then my friend Joel says, well, it is, Steve, but you got to watch out for the pits. You'll choke on them. Be careful. You know, enjoy the cherries, but there's pits. I didn't realize that there was something besides joy in the Lord. There's also perseverance. There's also character, and then it leads to hope. So although my struggle is still a struggle, just like your struggle is a struggle, it's just different because of what I know now. I know more things. I know more about God's character. Of course, he's proved himself over and over and over. So you go back to history and say, well, if God was God then, he'll be God now. We're not always in that mindset. Sometimes we get in the mully grubs. Sometimes we get what they call the pity party, and that's just part of the process. And one of the things I've learned, especially as a pastor and especially as a hospice chaplain, those people have been given a diagnosis of 6 months or less if the disease takes its natural course. That's it. Now, obviously, some of them, my patients lasted 3 years before they died. Some died in 3 days. So they're dealing with grief and hopelessness and, you know, I'm not going to get to see my kids' graduation or the wedding and things. Hopelessness. So I have to hurry up that process and talk to them about suffering and what suffering and tribulation is all about in the Christian life, and it is to produce perseverance, endurance, and character, and hope. Hope of not so much what we want, but hope of what God has promised. And what has he already promised? He has promised immediate peace with God, permanent access to God. We talked about Sunday night about those gods alone. You know, he is worthy alone. He is good alone. He is all these characteristics of God. And the more you walk with God, the more you talk with God, the more you have access to God, the more you experience that peace of God, the greater those attributes and characteristics of God become real, so that when tribulation does come, you know that that tribulation is going to produce within you some endurance. And that endurance is going to lead you to character. And that character is going to lead you to a hope of not so much what you wanted it to be or what you thought it would be, but God's will be done, and ultimately to live as Christ, to die as gain. Paul said those things with a very real reality, knowing that his head someday would be cut off. To live as Christ, to die as gain. I put all those things behind me. I found all these things where I've had little or much, I found myself to be content. Content with what? The little or much? No. The God who provides, whether it's in the little or the much. He began to learn these things. He began to mature. And that's one of the benefits, subjectively, that we can measure, we can gauge, we can feel, we can sense, is that maturing hope. I'm 62 years old now. When I was 24 and got married, I'd only been saved for maybe 3 years. It's not that I didn't think about death, but death was the last thing on my mind. I'm like, man, I just started my ministry. I just got married. We're fixing to have our first son. Life is grand, and I'm just planning tomorrow. I'm planning this. And now that I'm 62, I still think those ways. But because I understand death and hope and things, I don't get morbid, but I think about those things more, and perhaps what my funeral might look like, what I might want in my funeral. I know that sounds all morbid, but listen, I think about a lot of those things, and I think about, okay, what will my kid think? Well, stop that, Steve, you know. That's none of your control, you know. But, you know, as you get older, and you know this, the more you look forward to the day where not you're just going to overcome sin, because you know you've already been saved from the guilt of sin, you're not even looking forward to the day where you can overcome the power of sin. You're looking forward to that day. Man, there's going to be someday. And it's not that you got a death wish. It doesn't mean you got a plan or anything. But the older you get, you go, you know what? Someday, no presence of sin. Wow, what would that be like? You begin to think about those things. Because you've seen enough in this world. You've seen enough tribulation of your own. You've just seen it. And it is through those tribulations that we don't look forward to that God matures our hope. And that maturing hope comes from God, who allows a tribulation, who maybe even providentially puts in a tribulation. It comes from God. Life is pressured to draw out sin and bring out purity. That's why we go through tribulations. That's why you go through trials, tribulations, and things, is because God is using that to mature you. Over in the book of Proverbs, it talks about a silversmith working with the silver, working with a I don't know if it's called a pot, but it's a pot where they heat it up. And I was reading commentary one time, and it talked about how the silversmith knows just how hot to make that fire. Just hot enough to bring the dross up to the top, but never damage the silver. God knows just how much heat, God knows how much pressure through whatever tribulation you're going through, just enough to draw out the impurities and bring out the purities. The pressure or the heat draws out the sin and brings out the purity. Life is proved. Our lives are proved. They are proved by an enduring devotion that reveals purity. In other words, during that heat, during that pressure, it's only going to prove what God has done. It's only going to prove. Why? Because he's given us a maturing hope. Last but not least, verse 5, one of the other benefits of being justified, sanctified, glorified, which is objectively true. How do we subjectively gauge it, feel it, sense it? Well, verse 5, we are given as a benefit, we are given anticipated reality in God. Anticipated reality in God. That's what we're given. Look at verse 5 with me. Now hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There is a sense of anticipated reality. Reality that there is a God at that moment, reality of what it will be like with God, just a reality that you just know, as the preacher would say, you know that you know that you know, right? You ever heard a preacher say that? I just know that I know that I know I'm saved. First time I heard that, I thought, that's redundant. And then I began to read verses like this. Well, he's gone through all this tribulation. There's no disappointment. He just knows that he knows that he knows by the love of God that there is a real God, that he's real, he saved me. It's that stage where you're maturing from maybe total joy like I was when I got saved to some doubts and confusion, and it matures its way to just you know that you know that you know. You know, I have some doubts now sometimes, but I don't have doubts about my salvation anymore. There are doubts about different things I do or what I should have done, all those struggles that we go through, but I guarantee you there's nothing that can convince me now. I just know that I know that I know I'm saved. I may not even be able to explain it to anybody. Heard a preacher say one time, you may not be able to explain everything to somebody, but they can't argue with a changed life through Jesus Christ. And when they begin to see you and me as someone who lives out subjectively that immediate peace with God, that knowledge, that revelation, someone who knows they have permanent access with God, someone that knows that when you are being tried, it's only to mature you into a deeper, greater hope. Someone who has gone through that trial just anticipates more and more the reality of God. When they see that, they see a changed life through Jesus Christ. And it's part of that maturing, that sanctification, maturing process, becoming more like Christ. And it comes through suffering. It comes through trials. And Paul told us last week in Romans chapter 8 that the sufferings of this life are nothing to be compared to the glory that is to come. So when I think of that verse, and I would sit down with one of my patients that are dealing with pain or some kind of emotional anguish, I said, look, the suffering that you're experiencing is nothing compared to the reward in heaven, to the glory of God. I said, listen, the greater you suffer, the greater your reward. Doesn't mean you go out looking for suffering, but the greater the suffering, the greater the reward. The anticipation of God's love is fulfilling. The assurance of God's Spirit is fulfilling. The reality of our hope embraces God's sustaining love. The reality of our hearts embody God's assuring Spirit. So as we think about the benefits of peace, permanence, excess, maturing hope, and anticipating reality, I wrote these things down. Our peace with God comes immediately. Our access to God is made permanent. Our hope is tested to prove God. And our reality is lived out by God's sure presence. Those are things we can grab a hold of. It may only be momentarily, but we can touch them. We can feel them. We can taste them. I know I'm justified. I'm in position with God, with Christ. I know I'm being sanctified. I know that someday I'll be glorified, but I can't fathom all that. But I can definitely sense peace when I have it. I know when I have access to God. I know when I've really connected, you know, when the line has been opened, when the old party line has been opened, and I know when God's going, I know I have access to God. I know that somewhere during that trial, there's a maturing process, and I come out on the other side proved and pressured, not because of anything I've done. I just continue to hope and pray and grow and endure. And it's something I can hang on to because the Spirit of God that dwells within me anticipates God's sustaining love, and it anticipates and experiences God's eternal presence with me. So our question was, what are the benefits now to the believer in their justification, sanctification, and glorification found in Christ Jesus at their second birth? Well, the believer at their second birth found in Christ Jesus has assured peace, assured access, assured hope, and assured reality by the Spirit that indwells them as a guarantee of eternal life. So the only reason we can kind of taste and feel and sense these things is why? Not just because it's been done and paid for, but because the one that made it done and paid for placed the Spirit of God within you to sense those things at different times, at different moments, as a taste. So that when you access God, you know you're at peace with Him. And as you go through a trial, you mature into hope. And then you begin to experience a reality that God really is who He says He is. He's mine. I'm His. He's present with me. That's the benefits of being born again. What I'd like to do right now is, open the floor for prayer requests. We have about 5 minutes or so till 7. Floor open for prayer requests. Anybody?